ladies and gentlemen, schizophrenia.
Wow, this is really good. Sponsored by...
You want to see this unspoken Riz?
Yes, let's see.
Liquid IV! Liquid IV! Please, Liquid IV! Please, Liquid IV!
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how we want to start this.
Welcome to...
What episode are we on?
27.
Episode 28 of Grandma's Pillbox. In this episode, we're going to be recapping Avatar 2, The Way of the Water. Thomas and I just saw that in 3D IMAX. So we're going to give a comprehensive idiot's breakdown of this movie and give some thoughts about it. And then to wrap up the show today, we're going to do a bit of a would you rather on a few different topics that the lovely Celia thought of. So stay tuned for this episode. Like and subscribe.
And comment.
And comment. Yeah, please, actually, Nico, comment. Leave a comment, Nico. All right, Thomas. So, by the way, another new setup. It wouldn't be Grandma's Pillbox if we didn't have a brand new setup every other episode.
Just my apartment, and then Zoom, and then Liam's basement.
Yep, yep. Soon we're going to have to do my college house.
We have to. I mean, you've done one, though.
I did. I did one with Mr. Cam. Clockwood.
Check out episode 23, Freestyling Clockwood.
Yeah, Clockwood freestyles to McBeats. It's a silly, goofy little episode, but...
It's short. Short and sweet.
Yeah, the boys love to put out content, so you know how it is. I feel weird having this set up, because I can't really see you on my perfect peripherals.
I can't even, like, see your eyes. It's like I'm looking at Terminator or something.
A little unspoken Riz by the laptops.
Unspoken Riz.
Okay, so. Avatar 2, The Way of the Water. Let's
immediate rating. Immediate rating.
Out of
10.
Out of 10, 0 being the worst movie ever made. 10 being the best movie ever made. Or personal?
Personal.
Personal, okay. Personal. I'm going to give it a... 9.2.
I was sticking to 9.2 in my head.
Yeah.
And then I changed to 9.4.
Ooh.
9.4.
Yeah, dude, I mean, taking into everything, like the experience, like watching it in theaters, IMAX, the visuals, the hype that was behind it, the actual movie itself, just like that entire movie experience was probably one of the best that I've ever had. Like, I got to see another great movie, which was Top Gun Maverick in theaters also. And that's also probably up there for top movies of all time, just because of that whole experience.
I will say that was a great action movie to watch, because I didn't see the original Top Gun, so I didn't know the story.
Yeah.
Yet it still interested me throughout the entire thing. And I think the way they played with like the jets in that movie... And everything just like made the action so much fun to watch.
Yeah, true. The cinematics were crazy. Like, how did they get those shots? Were they actually flying right next? Oh man.
Yeah, they were flying real jets.
That's crazy.
Tom Cruise is crazy.
He's a madman. Scientology works for him.
Whatever gets you through the day.
Dude, yeah. I mean, he does all of his own stunts also. He flies jets, he jumps out of airplanes, he runs next to trains and jumps on them. He'll fight guys that are 400 pounds and he'll beat them in an actual fight.
Nowadays, that's useless. Well, not useless, but...
It's only useful if everybody knows about it. Like, if it's...
I would guarantee, maybe, with, like, Top Gun,
mm-hmm.
if nobody said anything that they were real Jets, or like they didn't have the disclaimer, or not disclaimer, they said like in the beginning of the movie, like, all of these are real Jets.
Yeah.
I think they had like one CG Jet scene, and you probably would just guess like it was fake. Like, there's like no way they flew those Jets.
Yeah. But same with Avatar too. The CG was so good that you almost can't even like discern it from fake or real. Like, the only reason you know it's fake is because they tell you it's fake. Like, Avatar just looked real, dude. It looked so real. It was crazy.
I didn't have a fond appreciation of Avatar at all, even before watching the first one. I always thought it was a silly movie, or I thought, it's too long. Why would I want to watch it? Mm. And then once I gave the first one a shot with Celia, it was a great experience.
Yes.
And then moving on to Avatar 2 with 3D IMAX sitting very close to the screen, just like crazy.
Dude, I mean, your entire field of view is taken up by this 3D just cinematic masterpiece.
First time a 3D movie has astounded me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was, I didn't realize that like James Cameron's original Avatar being 3D was kind of like the first introduction of major like IMAX 3D into the movie like scene. And then after that, everybody was doing 3D movies. So it, you know, I mean, who knows, maybe if like Avatar and maybe like Star Wars and Avengers, if those were the only 3D movies that were coming out, then maybe we'd be like a lot more, but nothing about like the 3D itself was like really standing out to me too much. I mean, it's just 3D. You see it, it's cool, but it's not like
wait
mind blowing
for Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't
like, I feel like it would have been a similar experience if it was not 3D.
I disagree.
Okay.
I believe, although it still would have been beautiful and great, you know, not 3D.
Yeah.
I think having those 3D glasses on gave every scene, or most scenes, the depth to really make you feel like you were inside the movie, in my eyes.
Hmm.
Like, when they switch from, like, the camera going underwater, and then you see, like, certain groups of fish, like, flying, or not, swimming right in front of your face, and you see one of the Avatar like swimming through,
mm-hmm.
and then you can tell like something's farther away, like you still have that same depth of field kind of with a non-3D film, but to me, I got really immersed into the film by having it 3D and kind of being able to tell, wow, okay, that's close to me.
It helps that Pandora is such, or at least the entire like Avatar universe is so focused on like nature and wildlife and stuff, and that's one thing that, you know, you're right, thinking about it, like maybe when they were in the forest, like some bugs, like a swarm of bugs would come by,
yeah,
or like when they were in the ship, those yellow fish that were like lighting everything up, which that scene was just straight out of Titanic, by the way.
Well, James Cameron made Titanic.
I know. That's,
so he's allowed to reference his own film.
Of course he is. But I just thought that was funny. But yeah, no, thinking about it more now, I might have to change my opinion.
Well, I was just giving you my perspective. You can not dig the 3D as much as me. I was just enthralled by it because I have not seen many 3D movies, but none of them made me. I go into a movie and like it's 3D, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll wear the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Like for this movie, I'm like, give me the 3D glasses.
Yeah, you need it. You need it. Spoiler alert coming. So The Way of the Water is kind of broken into three main acts. The first act is kind of building the world, basically. It's establishing the setting. You learn about what's been happening since Avatar 1 ended, and it also recaps a little bit of the end of Avatar 1. And then Act 1 finishes off with, well, I guess before I talk about that, Act 1 is just basically you see Sully, who's the main character of Avatar 1. He has now fully become entrenched in the Na'vi culture. He started up a family and he's gained those skills and basically left behind his human self, and he's now a full Na'vi.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that first act is kind of like almost like a slideshow of Sully's life over those 10 years, and shows the growth of his kids, the growth of him and his wife, and also displays like the crazy beautiful CG that everyone was touting.
And then they introduce the Colonel, which died in the first film.
Yep.
And the way he gets reintroduced is because they uploaded his consciousness and then inserted that into an avatar body or a Na'vi body.
Yeah.
And now basically, and they did this for a bunch of different super soldier or soldiers to turn them into super soldiers. And now they have like, what would you say?
They've got like a
SEAL team of avatars.
Like a Green Beret avatar team, with their one goal is to capture and eliminate Jake Sully. Jake, right? Jake Sully?
I think it's Jake, yeah.
Jake, okay.
Because Earth is dying and they need Pandora for a new place for humans to live in.
Mm-hmm. And is the capturing of Spider and all that in Act 1 also?
Capturing of Spider? Oh.
You know how they kind of do like their gorilla?
I say that's Act 2.
Act 2, okay.
Act 2. Because Act 1 was introducing, like you said, everybody, the setting, Jake, the Colonel, and then Act 2 is them coming down and like starting their shit and starting to push. The soldiers come in, they go to the old spot where the real Colonel died, and basically investigating, trying to find the Na'vi, trying to get closer to Jake, then Jake's kids, and Spider, which is like the one human left behind. Yep. That is the old Colonel's son.
Yep.
Basically, they catch the kids, they capture Spider in the end, all the rest of the kids get saved, and then Spider's like their intel for getting closer to Jake.
His character went back and forth a lot. Like, you couldn't really get a read on if he was like good or bad throughout that entire movie, which I thought was pretty interesting. I thought his actor did a good job, but something I wanted to comment on that was kind of like the catalyst that started Act 2 was them actually coming down from the sky and using those giant blasters.
Oh, yeah.
That scene of them coming down and just burning the forest and just everything running away was pretty crazy to watch.
It was surreal to me because, sure, the space part, the space scene that they had just for a little bit, so much better than any Star Wars I've seen. Like, it just looked so pretty and great.
Yeah.
Just, and then them shooting down and burning through the atmosphere. And then, like you said, the engines shooting back up to slow down as they land. You just see the fire, like, entrench the entire forest and basically, like, a nuclear bomb, like, go through and kill everything.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, the amount of destruction that it caused, I was like, no! And it felt so early on in the movie. Like, I wasn't expecting that. I was like, I honestly love, like, kind of the path of the storytelling that James Cameron decided to use during that movie, because usually you don't get something like that, like a big emotional thing that happens. Well,
when you're working with 3 hours and 10 minutes, you have the liberty to throw in big emotional thing at the maybe end of the first act. Mm-hmm. And then you see the repercussions and what happens in the middle of the second act, and then another emotional thing thrown towards the transition to the third act.
Yeah.
And then you get that final great battle, which is what happens in Avatar.
Yep.
They come down, like you said, capture Spider and everything, and then basically Jake was like, I can't protect all you guys from these. They're gonna kill you all. They're just looking for me, so I'm gonna dip.
So, I mean, I didn't realize this, but Jake, do you remember the giant MRI machine that they were using on Spider to try and get his memories?
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, but Jake probably, we can assume that he has knowledge that thing exists. So he knew that no matter what, he had to move his family away from the forest, because it's not like he could just hide there and hope that they weren't going to find him. The thought was, in his head at least, from my like studying up on it, is that there was no way that Spider wasn't going to be able to defend himself from giving up those memories, which he did. Mm-hmm. So as a viewer, you were kind of like, oh, the two parties like are no different things right now, but the audience knows the entire picture. So then how is like their specific knowledge going to interact with each other going throughout the movie? So like learning about that was pretty cool, because then you see like the actions that they take and how it kind of like almost worked out well for Sully and his family, because them running away and also the Colonel not knowing where he was because Spider didn't give them up gave him even more time to do what he did in Act End of Act 2. What would you say like the start of Act 3 is?
I believe it would be when they're starting to recon the group of islands.
Okay.
I would say. Or maybe when, why did they bring the scientists over?
Oh, yes.
Who was?
Somebody was the, oh yeah, the daughter.
She was
part human. She had
epilepsy or like seizures.
Yeah, she's like connected with Awa, which is like their god.
Okay. I didn't finish the synopsis. Finish it. I'll just write it down.
Okay.
So I don't forget.
Okay. So let me just run through the rest of Act 2. So we've got, as I mentioned, they've got Spider captured. They're using an MRI machine to try and retrieve his memories from his brain. At the same time, Sully is there with his family saying, we need to leave. There's a big turmoil that happens between him and his wife, figuring out we need to stay with the people or we need to leave the people to protect them. And they were trying to figure it out. Obviously, they end up leaving, and that's where they end up going, flying over the water. Pretty cool scene of them leaving, like them flying over different worlds or different like biomes and stuff like Minecraft. And then like they flew over like the stronghold and the tundra and like some villagers and stuff. And then they end up getting to the water. They end up getting to the water village, which was pretty cool because you saw like a completely different race of the Na'vi people. And then it kind of turned into like a we're a bunch of teenagers trying to find our way in this new town that we just moved into. Let's go fight the bullies that just fought us. You know, that sort of thing. So that end of like the second act, middle to the end, was like a different pace than kind of like the action. It kind of was like a wave, the movie was.
Establishing the new relationships, mm-hmm, between Sully's family and then this new water tribe family. Yep. Like, they didn't show a lot of Jake Sully. It was more the kids,
yeah,
which in my eyes makes it seem like they're going to be a big focus in the new next movie.
I hope they are, because there was not too much character building on them besides from like, I don't know, the chick, okay, she's connected with Awa somehow, mm-hmm, but, and she can control animals and do all this, but there wasn't a ton of like deep character building, which might I add, I don't feel like there was a lot of deep character building for any of the characters throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
even like the youngest son, he had his whole arc with Pycon. Pycon?
I think so.
Pycon. Basically, Dragon Ball Z character, Pycon.
Basically a whale
on Pandora. Basically a whale who is an outcast of its herd, kind of paralleling how this young black sheep of the family feels being the outcast of his family. there's a bit of character building there, and basically it's just Sully's family trying to fit in with the Water Tribe. And then we move to a scene where, okay, now Colonel Sanders, Colonel Quartich is meeting up with a team of warriors, hunters, biologists, something like that, to go try and go through all the islands to discover. And that's kind of the end of volume act two, I'd say.
And then act three, the youngest daughter, or the only daughter, gets...
There's two daughters. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, oh. One of them's the oldest daughter. The oldest daughter.
Yeah, the oldest one's adopted. Mm-hmm. And the youngest one is, like, actually theirs.
Okay, so the adopted daughter gets a seizure, and then mm-hmm. they call in the scientists that were still on Pandora, and they fly a ship over to give medical assistance.
Yeah.
And then that gives off a ping to the colonel that they're in this group of islands, and they start ravaging each tribe, trying to look for Sully. Mm-hmm. And essentially, then the colonel just starts hunting these whales, the same ones as PyCon. PyCon is outcast because PyCon uses killing as a measure, while the rest of the whales have agreed to never kill because it's just bad. Yeah. So that's why he's an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to hunt all these whales to bring Sully out to protect the whales. And then they start to hunt PyCon, and the youngest brother is caught out there trying to save him. The rest of the kids are there trying to help too. And then this is the start of the battle between Jake Sully, his family, and the Water Tribe versus Colonel Sanders and America.
Yep. Is it actually America, or is it just like a united Earth force?
I would assume,
like in Halo, like the
they don't build on, or like what in Halo?
I mean, Halo, it's like, I think it's just the entire like Earth is like the human force that's fighting off the aliens.
Yeah, I would assume Avatar does not build upon the human aspect of it. Really, yeah, just the military part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming if in this film the whole Earth is like becoming uninhabitable, then I'm guessing they're working together.
Yeah.
And they have like a unified military that's doing this space operation.
Probably the United States.
I mean, everyone was
white.
not white, but you know, speaking English. Yeah. They're all,
they like, all had...
American looking.
Mm-hmm. They all had our dialect.
It was like,
it's not like
military, like American military uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't think James Cameron really wanted to put any focus on that.
No, definitely not. What he did put some focus on, though, was the hunting of those whales, which kind of plays into the overall theme of the movie, which is like, let's protect the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they could have done a little bit more with talking about like the serum that they were going for. When they would hunt those whales, they would they would have like this whole expedition to hunt them, and they'd kill them, they'd bring them on the boat, and then they'd basically mine into their brain and extract this yellow/gold,
just brain serum.
I would call it. Yeah, that when a human ingested it or came into contact with it, it gave them, like, it stopped their aging process. And it was, you know, a little vial like this, like the size of the Celsius can, probably
bigger. I think double.
Double?
Yeah. Double the volume.
Yeah. Maybe the size of, like,
your water bottle.
Yeah, this Hydro Flask is worth 80 milli. Like, Stephen Curry's contract is right there in a bottle.
That's how they're funding the NBA back at
that's how they're doing it.
They're getting the serum.
Yes,
that's, man. That's what LeBron's got.
Mark Cuban, he's trying to bring down the big pill world, the big
farm,
big pharma.
this yeah. interesting conspiracy.
Yeah, let's not dive down there. Let's get back to Avatar 2, which is what you all are here for. So yeah, that's kind of
maybe not you,
maybe not
but,
you,
but you're the exception.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to single you out like that.
wait, where were we?
Finishing up Act 3.
And you were talking. Why'd you bring up the whale?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he put a lot of detail into.
Yeah, he just basically. I mean, them hunting the whales, I kind of felt like was him throwing in the let's protect the world. Like, let's protect our.
Okay,
our
Celia oceans. Told me she heard, oh, there's climate change undertones in this film. And I can definitely see it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see such an obvious or like in your face look at, like, look how horrible this is. Look, like, you're just seeing it raw. Like, when the spacecraft's. Land that and burn.
Yeah,
they weren't. They're just showing the destruction. Not like, well, they showed the avatars crying and everything, or you know, like
being yeah.
petrified that this is happening. But with like the whale stuff.
But the scene where the lady chief goes up to the mother that was killed. The mother that she had like that super deep connection with, the one, you know, how they had a big scene.
Oh, I think I went to the bathroom during that
part. Okay, so the lady chief had this connection with one of the whales.
Yeah,
she was pregnant. This whale had a baby. They killed this whale.
Yeah, yeah.
And she rolls up to it, and you know, you see this whale belly up, eyes rolled back, and she's just sitting on the fin, like screaming and crying. That was one of like the more powerful.
All right, I retract my statement.
That was one. Whatever. Yeah. Right. So, but I mean, that was like kind of really the only one, other than just like them hunting them and harvesting them. They kind of had to add that in because wasn't in like the first movie they were going for some like mineral or something.
They were going for this unobtainium. I was about to say vibranium, but that's Marvel Universe.
That's Marvel.
That's the MCU.
Marvel. Fuck off. Liquid IV, though. Love you guys. Sponsor us. Actually, kombucha. My gut health is really bad. Liquid IV kombucha. Please send me some.
Kombucha?
They've got...
You're adding a whole new...
They've got some.
Oh, wait. Liquid IV kombucha?
Yes. Yes. Quick break. We're about to look this up.
Well, while we're taking this break, I'm going to use the bathroom.
Yep. Do it. I'll talk to you when you get back.
Meow.
Okay. Sorry. We just got transported into another universe. Whew. Gosh. Man, my eyes. Oh my gosh, too much caffeine.
You didn't even finish it.
Too much. Yeah, it's almost all the way full. So,
it's almost all the way.
Oh, shit. You gonna work out again tonight? How are you gonna sleep?
What do you mean?
It's 6 o'clock.
This is not even that much.
200.
Caffeine?
200 milligrams.
Dot. Wait. Why does it say?
Contains 200 milligrams total caffeine per serving.
That's nothing. That's lightweight.
That's lightweight?
Yeah.
You're gonna be up till 2 a.m. No. Yes, you will. I guess you are a unit. Edibles don't affect you at all.
Where were we?
So.
They start to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, PyCon comes in to save the day. Because the kids were hostage and they needed to save them. And then PyCon comes and destroys the ship. And then this turns into a one-on-one battle between the Colonel and Sully. And then the ship is turning over. The mom and the youngest daughter get stuck in the ship. And then the son, the oldest son dies.
Dies, yep. Takes a bullet to the chest, jumping off of the boat. dies on a rock. Mom goes wild. Her and Sully basically are tag teaming everybody on the boat, just destroying everybody on a reign of terror and attempts to get to the colonel, which is kind of like the climax of the movie is the, that fight basically is the colonel versus
Sully.
Sully, yeah.
And then eventually Sully beats the colonel, chokes him to death underwater, and then the youngest son comes in, finds Sully, and basically trains him how to hold his breath. And then, wait, how did they get out of there?
They just swam out.
They swam out.
Yep. And at the same time, Spider finds the colonel.
Saves him.
God damn James Cameron, leaving him alive. Well, we're going to see him in the next movie for sure. But yeah, that ends. The oldest brother is dead. The family.
Reunited. Stronger bond with the Water Tribe people now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't even remember. What happens at the very end? How does it end? Is it like a quick scene of them like with the water village people, or does it even get back to that?
The colonel flies away, then they shake hands and they're like, we are family.
Mm.
And then after that,
brother.
No, I think it ends there.
Mm.
I don't think there was like a big cliffhanger or anything.
Yeah.
It was like a cinematic just end, I believe. Or no?
I think so. You sound right. So, knowing all that, recapping all that, leave in the comments below your thoughts on the movie. Thomas, you want to give a general thought on the movie?
General thought. Love the CGI. I love the biology. Plot may have been simple, but it was effective. And those are my big three thoughts.
Okay.
Oh, I guess Awe? The god.
Awa.
Awa is part of the biology part.
Mm-hmm.
So that encapsulates my big thoughts on it.
Mm. See it 3D IMAX if you can. Yeah, the visuals are crazy. So appreciate those while you're watching it. And pretty simple theme, but still, like you said, effective.
Yeah, CGI, knowing everything was fake, obviously, besides, you know, the humans.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, everything else was fake. And I usually, I pay attention to those type of things, and I'll be like, that looks horrible. Like, I was watching House of the Dragon with Celia the other day, and they had this one scene where a dragon burns a burial thing, and it just all looked so fake, so bad.
Mm.
Like, just the way the VFX were. But in this movie, there was not one part where I'm like, that takes me out. Like, I was always immersed in the world that of Pandora.
Nice.
I
was as well.
I never felt like, yeah, that's fake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was zero. If anybody's seen Chainsaw Man, it's an anime that's coming out right now. Episode one has some CGI. And throughout the whole series, it's gotten better, I will say, at like not noticing it. But episode one has some pretty noticeable CGI, which you don't really see CGI in anime. Mostly it's all just, all drawn.
Huh.
So it looked really out of place and not very good, but dude, I mean.
Was it out of place because they were trying to do something and it didn't hit the mark? Or is it out of place because that was the style they were going for, like CG mixed with anime, like hand drawn?
I just don't see why anybody would use CG in anime. At least at the level that they're using it now, because it just looks so out of place.
You can do some cool stuff. I can't think of specific examples, but I've seen clips of CGI being implemented into cartoons or anime.
Yeah. Ando.
Ando. Ando.
I gotta finish.
Sucks.
Yes.
There's not much I can say about the CGI besides it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I believe it places a very high standard.
Yeah.
Standard. Like they created a whole world and the CGI was amazing for it. So these other films or later films after Avatar, what am I trying to say? It's like, you know, you can create a good world with CGI.
Yeah.
Like, this movie just reinforced it after Avatar 1. Like, you knew after Avatar 1, you could still make good CGI movies and everything.
Yeah.
And Avatar 2 just reinforced that same statement.
Yeah, there's like a gold standard now that is in Hollywood. Which, I mean, we saw Top Gun pretty much achieve it through its, like, visuals, so... Anything that comes out from here on out. The problem is, though, I feel like it's got to take so long to be able to, like, produce something that high quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I guess that's not a problem because, you know, I'd rather have quality over quantity when it comes to movies. But, you know, I do see what you're saying. That will be a standard that everything is compared on now.
Let's just say... they make a new Marvel film.
Mm-hmm.
the quantum realm Ant-Man movie that comes out.
I
can't apply the standard to that because maybe they already made it before or they were working on it before Avatar, whatever, but if it doesn't look like crazy or if it looks kind of useless. The point I'm about to make is going to connect to what I'm about to talk right after. So,
okay. I'm eating it.
The world of the CGI, or the CGI they used to make the world of, let's say, Ant-Man, will have an impact on you if it makes sense in a way. Like with Avatar, you had a moon planet that has life on it. It has water, different like biomes and such, like Minecraft. The CGI makes sense. It's like, it's a living world here. It looks real. Mm-hmm. I believe in the CGI. Or with Ant-Man, they're going into the quantum realm, which isn't really explored, but... no. This is useless.
This is not going anywhere?
No, this is...
I'm trying to follow along, but I'm kind of getting lost a little bit.
I'm getting lost in my own in my own head. Get them out. Get them out, dude.
They're in there. They're so bad. Okay.
I'm just going to skip that.
Yep.
And just go with the second thought, which was I thought the biology of the movie was great. What I mean by biology is, quick example, the Na'vi are land-adapted avatars, while the Water Tribe people, I can't remember their names, but they were adapted for the sea.
Mm-hmm.
They had wider legs, they had fatter tails, they were, you know, more streamlined for swimming.
Yeah.
Whereas the Avatar were streamlined for climbing trees and everything.
Yep.
And in the whale brain serum, the reason it was so valuable because the scientist guy explained that this is probably the smartest creature or whatever, like, on this planet. And it has, I can't remember that, but just way more neurons than humans, and it just explains the valuableness of that whale, and just how and explains the reason why they're so smart, that they can talk to the Avatar, they can migrate in groups, they can bond with people, and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Awa. That you say is God of Pandora was a little fan theory in my head, and it's because, like, for the Avatar, it was that tree, right?
Yeah,
that was Awa.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the sea people, it was this like sea coral reef or whatever looking thing. And my belief, it's like this one super plant organism on Pandora that somehow adapted and it's smarter than the whale. And that's why, like, it's adapted so hard and it's so smart that, like, it grows throughout the whole planet. It's all connected. And since it's so smart, it can establish these connections with the animals living in there. And maybe that girl, you know, is, like, just somehow...
She's some sort of, like, disciple of Awa.
Yeah.
That's a crazy theory. I like that. I heard a theory as well. And it was that that girl, I can't remember her name. Kati?
Maybe.
Kati, her mother was the ginger scientist lady. And,
yeah.
But we didn't know who her father was.
Yeah.
So I saw a theory that possibly she was conceived, like it was an immaculate conception. Similar to like in the Bible, Jesus was conceived. Mary was conceived, like the Virgin Mary.
She never had sex, but has a baby.
Yes. Immaculate conception.
Mm-hmm.
So what if Kati is some sort of...
Oh, I think her name is Ronal, unless it's someone else. Because I remember Kate Winslet played the daughter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ronal? Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel was not in it.
Vin Diesel!
What the hell? I thought that was Kate Winslet. Or the mom was.
Yeah, I think that was the mom.
Neytiri.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was... She's innocent. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
Kiri. Yeah, you were right. Kiri.
I was saying Kati.
Kati.
Oh, yeah. So that lady.
Kate Winslet was the mom of the water tribe.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Kiri. So Kiri is like the equivalent of a disciple to
the Avatar people,
the Pandora people. Could be cool.
That's cool.
Could be possible.
I like my theory though.
I like yours also.
Because it goes back to the CGI thing I was talking about. James Cameron has thought out these things. And the fact that it's CGI doesn't matter. It's just so thought out, it can be like believed that it's real.
For sure.
Like how the Avatar people, the way they travel is they have these flying birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the sea people, they have these like fish that have wing-like fins.
Yeah.
And it's just sick to me. Like, the way they can travel above water is that their tail is in the water pushing them. And then, since they have speed, they use their fins to, like, you know, propel themselves upwards a little bit.
Yeah. It's super cool. Dude, I mean, like, that's one of those things that's like, man, if they had a single-player, like, video game that was based in the, like, a single-player RPG based in the Avatar world, would be so sweet, like Skyrim kind of, where like you can create your class based off of the Na'vi or the sea people or the mountain people or whatever. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, imagine.
Come on, James, get on it. I know it's your
he owner. Is on it. Every 2 years there's a new Avatar movie coming.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, but I don't want no dumb movies. I want to.
I don't think if he's set in stone on that schedule.
Uh-huh.
If he delays the next movie, which I don't think he will. I feel like it's a big commitment to have the next 4 movies already like planned out for when they're coming out.
Yeah, and the fact that he committed in public saying every 2 years. Like that's humans like to be consistent. It's like a whole thing, the consistency principle. And a way to like reinforce that in yourself is to in public, on social media, whatever, say that you're doing something or that you are something. So then...
To be held accountable.
Yes. You hold your own self accountable because that's just human nature. You don't want to be seen as wishy-washy, as this, as that. You want to be seen as reliable and all that stuff. So hopefully basic human nature propels our boy James into keeping up his promise.
I feel like he's already got it planned out.
Yeah, I hope so.
We discussed this. When did Avatar 1 come out? 2008?
Yeah.
And then
13 years ago is what I've been hearing.
13. So he's had 13 years don't know if he's been working the whole time. I think.
Did he make it? Yeah, I was just saying, has he made any movies since then? Titanic 2. How are you liking the new MacBook, by the way?
Amazing. I love it. Never had a laptop that was worth more than $100 before. And this is just top of the line for me.
It's crazy.
Oh. After Avatar, he made Sanctum.
What?
Never heard of it. Didn't watch it. Cirque du Soleil, Worlds Away.
What?
Never heard of it, nor seen it. Alita, Battle Angel. Never heard of it, never seen it.
Yeah.
Terminator. Oh, wait. Oh, no. He didn't direct those. These are some random ass films.
Oh.
He was just part of writing or other shit.
I see.
No, he hasn't made another film since Avatar. So I'm sure he just helps along here to get some money while he's like working on Avatar.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, shit, I need to buy some groceries. Let me write a shitty film. Terminator 6? Okay, I got you.
Oh, man, I need to get a Four Loko tonight for the party. Let me just help on Attila Battle Angel. The most bunk movie title I've ever seen. God, it's like a Yu-Gi-Oh character.
The MacBook fits so well into the iPhone or Apple ecosystem. I'm not going to try to fanboy too hard. I just love the MacBook.
I do as well. For all the points that you just stated. It's hard to beat it, dude. Being able to, especially with what I'm doing with work right now, where I'm taking a lot of photos.
Yeah.
And you being able to just airdrop it.
Yep.
And like I just airdropped like a couple giant just like files of videos and pictures that I had from my desktop just to work on stuff while I'm home, and it takes like, I don't know, 10 minutes just to airdrop 50 gigabytes worth of files over.
Wow,
it's crazy. It's actually nuts, dude. I mean, I really hope I can buy this off my work when I leave there. Because it's technically theirs. They bought it for me to use. So I'm hoping I can.
For our Spotify viewers, Name is tapping his lap and handing the credit card to the camera.
No, but once that Liquid IV sponsorship money starts coming in, it's technically a pillbox expense, so. Not technically, but Venmo at Liam dash Kingsbury to support the channel.
Or subscribe on Anchor.
Yeah, subscribe on Anchor, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, follow us on all of our socials. Let's get back to the Avatar talk. So
where did we leave off? We were looking up the different the timeline.
Yes, we were.
I think he's got this planned out because you can go so. There's several different sci-fi topics that can be introduced here. The GPB CEO.
The GPBC. Sorry, guys. Let me take this. Hello? Oh, Mr. President. Great to hear from you. No. I'm in the United States right now. A bomb? I wouldn't know anything about a bomb. You say the cruise liner that's departing from on at 8 a.m. is going to be 2 hours later?
Yo, chill.
All right, well, listen. I'll make sure everybody watches Grandma's Pillbox so they know this information. Thanks, Mr. President. Bye.
You upload this and then the FBI just terminates Grandma's Pillbox because of it.
Grandma's Pillbox, new short coming out. Liam gets a call from the president.
No, if that happens, I'll just accept it. I'll be like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm AWOL.
Mountain people, desert people. Dude.
Okay, well.
Break. I'm out.
Come on. So, the lovely Dan posed a question to us, asking us what makes a movie good and memorable. And he wanted to get our takes on it. So, I'll start with you, Thomas. What do you think makes a movie good and memorable? I feel like good and memorable are two different things.
Yeah, because I remember a lot of Shark Tale, or I remember a lot from Over the Hedge. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of memories of those.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them good movies. Some of them
Over the Hedge is top tier.
Over the Hedge is top tier. Bad example.
But yes, I see what you're saying. But, just like those random movies maybe we have like memories of or nostalgia of.
Yeah.
They're memorable. But so why don't we change this to what makes a movie good?
I think Dan was equating memorable to making a film good, because his point was Avatar 1, you forgot about the main cast or the plot line after a week or a month. And like, you're like, that movie was good. But yeah. You don't remember, like, there's no memorable aspects to it, mm-hmm. besides CGI and it looked pretty.
Yeah.
This film, I believe, can probably have the same argument where you watched 6 YouTube videos just to
remember like the story.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything, but I just it's kind of still fresh in my mind, so I can recall a lot of it. But yeah. I'm sure if you ask me in a month or 2 months, I'll probably forget the important details.
Yeah,
but that's besides the point. Just because I don't remember it doesn't mean it's not great. This one movie I love, At Eternity's Gate,
yeah.
Starring what's the Green Goblin? Willem Dafoe.
Yes,
Willem Dafoe as Vincent Van Gogh. Basically a biopic, or just kind of like just touching on Van Gogh's psychology, or it's like a biography kind of, doesn't matter. Beautiful art film, go check it out. It makes me feel a lot of different things as I watch it. And that is my part of the argument, which is how a movie makes you feel determines how good it is, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's how I would watch different genres of movies. Watching a rom-com, I have a certain expectation of a rom-com film in my head, and if it doesn't give me that good feeling, then I don't think it's a good rom-com.
Yeah. Okay.
Or if I'm watching Top Gun and I'm thinking action movie, I have these preconceptions of how action movies make me feel. John Wick made me fall asleep. Top Gun, I was standing up the whole time, like, so intrigued by the jets and everything, just got me excited.
Yeah.
It made me feel, like, excited for the action film. Mm-hmm. Or a sad movie at the end, it makes you cry, or at least it makes you feel really sad. That can make the movie good.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think no matter, like, what the movie is, you're gonna have some heuristic, that might be the right word, about what the genre is gonna provide you in terms of like an emotional response. And I think you're right on, does it fulfill that response? Does it cause me to feel these emotions to like a certain level? Maybe like there's a threshold, like if it does over this, then okay, I think it's a good movie. I like that way of looking at it, because I was thinking like, originally, there was different categories of things, like good story, good effects, good characters, good this. And if it falls into one of those categories, then that makes it good. But I think just really relying on the emotion.
Because I don't mean to cut you off.
No, no.
But movies are storytelling pieces. Mm-hmm. A book is someone writing down words to tell you a story about something. Mm-hmm. A film is someone filming certain things to tell you a story. Documentary, you're filming Kanye talk about Hitler, so you can tell the story about how Kanye worshipped Hitler on Alex Jones podcast. We talk about that on episode 26. Make sure to check it out.
Check it out, guys. GrandmasPillbox.tv.
But this essential storytelling aspect, when Uncle Joe comes over and gives you a story about World War III, and he makes you feel like, God damn it, Uncle Joe, I don't want to hear it. That's like a stereotypical action movie. I don't want to like see this shit. Like, maybe it's like fun to hear.
Yeah.
But like, it didn't bring me any emotion or like, you know, that's like kind of the analogy I want to make there, which is the storytelling aspect of it is what makes the movie good.
I agree. No thoughts are coming into my head right now. I feel like I just had a massive brain fart.
And it's like a ball bouncing.
I put this hat on to try and catch anything that was like floating out the top, but it just didn't work.
It's just all cap.
Yeah, literally, I'm capping right now.
Okay, man. Well, what are a couple of movies besides Top Gun and Avatar that you think are good?
I think that the movie... you know this movie very well, directed by the Safdie brothers. Good Time.
Good Time.
Made me feel a lot of emotion during it. What was I feeling? What's the name for that emotion?
Anxious.
Anxiousness. I was very anxious during that entire movie. Similar to Uncut Gems. Very anxious during that entire movie, which I think qualifies them in our current definition as being good movies.
Okay. Yeah. Let me make the case, or let me reinforce the argument. I'm going to keep saying reinforce the argument because that's all I know right now.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems, I'm going to speak about that because I saw that movie like 8 times.
Yeah.
Good Time, I saw it twice. Uncut Gems, the story is about, spoiler, a gambler that falls into a gambling hole and eventually gets himself killed because of it. That's the basic story right there. He buys a rock from Africa. The rock is supposed to be crazy good. He uses that money that he doesn't actually have to gamble on the Celtics winning. And then he wins the gambler's dream, then dies, bringing no point to all this chaos that he was bringing and causing on himself. And that's, and when you think about that type of story, it's anxiety. Like, wow, I'm just gonna keep losing my money and I'm gonna die.
Yep.
And it shows that anxiousness, or makes you feel the anxiousness very well.
Yeah.
Now, that's not just because storytelling is like what you said, good characters, good story, good cinematography. Like, they all add together for the storytelling aspect. But you can't talk about each individual aspect if you're trying to come up with a simple definition for what makes a movie good.
Yeah.
They all play together.
For sure. So that's why I feel like the emotion thing is really the best way to combine them all. Yes.
Yes.
Indubitably. Yes. Other movies that I think are really good. The Hobbit movies, all three of them, I thought were really good.
Never seen one, so I can't speak to that.
I'll keep it light then. I'm not going to talk too deep on them, but just the band of like partners traveling through this country, fighting off people, gathering resources, like working towards a goal, while also being in like a super cool fantasy. I mean, Tolkien was pretty much the godfather of like the fantasy genre.
Yep.
So that was one that I really thought was a good series, good movie. Can't really think of any others off the top of my head right now. I bet you have some good ones.
Let me think. Well, just my top four. on Letterboxd, which is just like a film website, mm-hmm. just to go rate your movies, whatever. Top four is Godfather, Avatar 1, At Eternity's Gate, and American Psycho. Mm. I might change Avatar 1 to 2, because I honestly liked 2 a lot more than 1.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Godfather. This Italian mobster storytelling. So long, but you get entrenched. Some people have different takes on it, but Michael Corleone, which is the army kid coming back to visit the wedding, and someone gets entrapped into the mobster family, and then he himself becomes the head honcho, mm-hmm. mob boss, and great movie. Mm-hmm. Avatar 1, we've discussed it. If you want to hear about it, rewind a little bit or go check out episode 25 where we talk about Avatar. At Eternity's Gate, I just talked about it. I hope you're listening. And then American Psycho. Some people may say I like it just because of the meme, but I watched that movie before it popped off on Instagram memes or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the
Sigma grind set, like Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Christian Bale, yeah. His like kind of, he's kind of like the poster child of the Sigma grind set from that movie.
It's called So Me character, or it's like a character is so me. I don't think that's what they call it, but fuck. Just like, I would see it all the time. Now I can't think of it. It's just some word or a scent. Mm. Fuck, what was it? Freak. Doesn't matter. American Psycho tells you the story of a 1980s stock market or realtor, whatever, just businessman.
Yeah.
Too caught up in looking at his self-image, and it eventually leads to his own mental decay and downfall. And it tells that story in a very comedic yet scary way. Or creepy, I should say. Mm. Comedic and creepy way. Because I genuinely laugh.
When you watch it.
When I watch American Psycho, like just part, maybe it's because of the memes associated with it now. But even before, I would laugh at the monologue at the beginning of the movie where he's doing his skincare, doing his workout regime and everything. Just like, it's so absurd, yet I love it.
Yeah. And it brings out those emotions. It really does.
Now, for the last segment of Grandma's Pillbox, would you rather?
All right, we're doing a new segment here. It's a would you rather segment. These questions have been curated from Celia. And what's up, Celia? And yeah, we're just going to go over these real quick. Thomas is going to read them off. We're both going to give a brief would you rather, and then maybe one or two sentences on why. Keep it super light. Super conducive to the short form format.
Short form
yep, format. Because this will be ported right in. But you podcasters will see the creation live.
Would you rather be blind or deaf?
I'd rather be deaf.
Same.
Because I could get good at reading people's lips and then possibly be able to still do things such as drive, and I think there's actually ways to port like hearing aids in that will attach into your brain or something that will be able to read vibrations so you can actually kind of hear stuff.
I don't see, I'm not hating on a certain disability or not, or like, or the other. I just feel like being deaf is superior than being blind, because
blind people are inferior to deaf people.
True. Like, you could be deaf, but you can still make art. Well, you can make art. I have no argument. I'm not going to make an argument. I believe I would rather see the world than than hear it.
Yeah, I agree.
All this bullshit going around me, I don't need to hear it.
No. Okay? All right, next.
Would you read... An alien comes down. You're 30 years old. An alien comes down. You're in the middle of a cornfield for some reason. They're like, meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. And then somehow you understand that, and the alien tells you, you have to save the world, or the world's about to end, and this is the only way you could save it. Relive high school or relive college. And you go back to the same age you were when you started those things.
I'm in college right now. I'm happy with how things have gone so far. So I think to set myself up even better for what I'm doing now, I'd relive high school. Am I keeping...
No, no memory. Oh, no, you okay. Go back to your... You go back to your 14-year-old self.
God, because I feel like...
Very dumb. I was very dumb at that age. And I don't even know.
I'm going to say relive high school.
Relive high school.
I'm going to relive high school because I would have liked to do some things differently.
Okay. Let's see. I would rather... To be honest... If I had to choose to save the world, relive college. Just because... If I had to go through this again, then at least I have some freedom and I'm not stuck in high school with dealing with the bogus rules and everything.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Next question. Be reincarnated as a terrestrial animal or as an aquatic animal?
Yep. So Thomas... Thomas, I'd have to be an aquatic animal.
Me too.
Yeah.
Now, do you know which aquatic animal you'd want to be?
I do. A manatee.
A manatee?
A manatee. Or a walrus.
So you want to be a big...
I want to be big. I want to be powerful. I want nothing to mess with me. I want to maybe get run over by a boat. But most of the time, I just want people to take pictures of me and me to just, like, stunt on them.
Interesting. So you want to be loud and proud and attention-seeking.
Yes.
Me?
I'll definitely live, like, in San Francisco or something, so all the tourists will see you.
I want to be an octopus.
That's a good choice.
I'm fascinated by octopuses and octopi, and they're, you know, one of the intelligent... species or just, you know, at the top, us humans, then the monkeys, not even monkeys. You just know what I mean.
Yeah.
Octopuses are smart. They got their own, like, brains and their tentacles and shit. And they just explore the ocean floor. Or I don't know. I just like the octopus.
Octopus lifestyle. Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It really is. All right, final question.
I didn't even pick an answer to this one yet. Be accused of sexual assault or murder.
Tough one here. Tough one here.
Okay. Let's up the ante.
Yes.
Maybe. Well, actually, be committed of sexual assault or suspected for murder. Because I feel like just inherently, if you are indicted or, like, you know, you're found guilty for sexual assault versus murder, I'm guessing on average, you'll probably have a lesser sentence on with sexual assault. I'm just guessing. So the up the ante, suspected of murder, or you're, like, it's been shown you've done sexual assault. Now you have to live with it.
Yeah. Society-wise, which one do you think?
Society-wise?
Yeah.
I have to think like Joker?
No, I mean, like, because if you're just suspected of murder, you might not even get sentenced, but everyone around you will know, oh, this dude might have killed somebody. Kind of like a Godfather mobster. Mm-hmm. Like, you walk into a bar, oh shoot, this guy's cool. Versus like you walk into a grocery store, oh, that dude did, you know, some bad things. So I'm gonna go with be suspected of murder.
Does your answer change if it's just accused of both? Mm-mm. Yeah, I'd have to choose murder too.
Yeah.
Just that stigma of sexual assault
will
never leave you. People will forgive you if you kill somebody.
People forgive you if you kill like a bad person, or maybe you come out with a book like a few years later, like, oh, I killed Osama bin Laden or something.
Yeah.
You know.
There's justified murder.
Yeah.
But is there justified sexual assault? No. I don't think so.
No. Society would not accept that.
I would not accept that.
No, I wouldn't either. All right, that concludes. Thanks, everybody. And let's see, to wrap up this episode, episode 27, Thomas. It was a great episode. You memed me halfway through, pretending that the recording wasn't working. But it was, so F you.
F me?
F you. So, this episode, we went over Avatar 2, The Way of the Water. We had some thoughts about movies. We did a Would You Rather. And was that? Nope. I think that was it, yeah. So, thanks everybody for watching. This was episode 27. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thomas and I are putting together a little schedule. We're going to try and get some more pods out fairly regularly. You guys are going to see some new faces, some returning faces, and hopefully some good quality content. So, everybody who stayed this long, which is probably just going to be us editing.
Just watching the edit. That's the only
yeah.
people.
Yeah. Hey, do your push-ups right now, Thomas. Do them.
Oh, yeah. Editing Thomas.
Editing Thomas, do your push-ups. Great episode. Peace.
No! No!